Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
If
Good morning, and thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. We're going to be continuing the sermon by my father titled The Deeper Things of God. And as I mentioned last week, if you'd like your own personal copy of the sermon, you can write to us or email me. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or email me at lanelohman@me.com. I'm happy to send it to you, and I hope that you'll pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance as we are a faith-based, listener-supported radio program, as many of you already know. So thanks so much for considering that, and I would also ask you to pray for me as I am on this fourth weekend of the month of March at Orleans, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. And then March 29 or 28 to 30, I will be in Harrison, Ohio at the Church of the Nazarene for a weekend revival. As you probably noted, there are five weekends in the month of March. That means extra expense for radio time. So we do need for our friends to help us with the expense of the radio program, and it would mean so much, take some of the burden off of us. So thank you again for praying about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and mercy in our lives. Thank you that we can come in Jesus' name and make our request known unto you. And I pray for those who are listening to my voice today who might be struggling spiritually, who have a need, and I pray that you would just meet the need, whatever it might be. Father, I pray for friends of mine, friends of this ministry who are sick, shut in, some who are dealing with cancer and other illnesses, and I pray that you would be with them today, be with their families as they stand by in a supportive role. I pray, Father, for the churches that will gather on this weekend. I pray that you would be with pastors as they preach the Word of God. I pray that it would be a great week, oh, great weekend as well, as the Word of God is proclaimed. We love you so much. We thank you for your blessings, your goodness. We're indeed a blessed people. I pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. It will mean so much.
In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
This rock is Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds
trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, rest in his righteousness alone, for blessed to stand before the throne.
Be very sure.
About spiritual wisdom in this area, a testify. We need to exercise some spiritual wisdom when it comes to this business of praying in public. I'm not putting a minimum on prayer as far as its importance is concerned, but I never did believe in doing our private praying in public. If you got to pray long prayers, go in your closet and shut the door. And just tell the Lord all you want to, as long as you want to. I was in a meeting not long ago, and they called on a fellow to pray, and he literally prayed the opening prayer 12 minutes. Now, I thought to myself, he must be behind time with his secret prayer. Now, I'll get in trouble with some folks the first morning I'm here. But that's all right. I still believe we need to exercise some wisdom along this line, and along with our knowledge, beloved, allowing the Holy Spirit to take us out in the areas of spiritual wisdom. What for? That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Now, one translator said, the eyes of your mind being opened up. And my friends, we're living in a day when there are lots of folk that need to get their spiritual vision cleared. Lots of folks testify to being saved and sanctified that still got a little skim over their spiritual vision. Got a lot of folks today, you know, that profess a high state of grace, and if somebody gets blessed, they say, well, I wish they'd just kind of hold that in. And somebody gets stirred up just a little bit, they say, well, that's excitement. One woman walked up to me, and she said, you got excited, didn't you? I said, yes, ma'am, and I think it's time you was getting excited. Have no apology whatsoever. I used to see my old-fashioned praying, shouting Methodist mother come out of the choir over 40 years ago when I was just a little boy in the Methodist church, waving her handkerchief in the air and rejoicing in the good things of God. And I sat there and I wondered what it was that caused my mother to act like that. Brother, 40 years ago, the 18th of this month, I found out. And I got in, the blood was applied. The next morning at 2 o'clock, the Holy Ghost came in sanctifying power. And across these years, I'm glad that I've known what it was to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't see a thing wrong with people taking their spiritual liberty in the Lord. And if you see anything wrong with that, it's because you're not seeing clearly the spiritual things of God. I was in the great Bonnie Camp meeting in Bonnie, Illinois some years ago, And I had one of my flighty spells one afternoon that I take once in a while, and I soared up about the third heaven and got up there in the Milky Way in my imagination, looking at what the Lord had prepared for those that loved him. And I mean, this was a Methodist camp meeting. I mean, it wasn't the off-brand Methodist. It was the real Methodist, the United kind. And I mean, brother, listen, there's still some of them that's got good old-time religion. Now, don't you forget that. And out there in southern Illinois, brother, there's a lot of them out there. And I was preaching, and the Methodist preacher's wife, way back there, she stood up and praised the Lord. She said, "Hallelujah." And another Methodist preacher's wife back there, she said, "Praise the Lord." And that thing caught fire. I never seen as many Methodists shouting in my life at one time as they did. And the singer grabbed his trombone, stepped off the platform, started down the side aisle playing "When the Saints Go Marching In." And that crowd of Methodists had a hallelujah march. And if you don't think it's hard to preach over that, I hope you never have to try. They took that meeting away from me, brother. I never did get to finish my sermon. But there's a little woman sitting down front. She was as pale as a ghost, and she was just wringing her hands. And she walked up to me, and she said, "Oh, Preacher Loman, I can't see through this." I said, "See through what?" She said, "All this emotion, all this demonstrating." I guess I was a little mean, but I said, "Little lady, it's amazing how much more you can see from the inside looking out than you can the outside looking in. What y'all do is get on the inside of this thing, then you wouldn't have too much trouble seeing through it. I'm talking about, beloved, getting your eyes open. You see, they brought a blind man to Jesus one day, and Jesus touched him. He said, 'What do you see?' He said, 'I see men walking as trees.' He said, 'Bring him back. He needs another touch.' And he touched him the second time. He said, 'Now what do you see?' 'I see all men clearly.' Some folks wouldn't have any difficulty seeing clearly if they just let him touch them the second time and get all that skim off and give them clear vision. Praise the Lord. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." A lot of folks, you know, these days, they look at some of us folk rather peculiar and a little queer because we believe in revivals and believe in going to revival every night and believe in going to prayer meeting, you know, on Wednesday night and believe in going to church on Sunday night. They don't understand why that everybody doesn't have a boat and run to the lake on Sunday. I can understand that. There's some folks that's got more things that they can see more clearly than taking the Lord's Day just to run around all day on the Lord's Day. Amen. I'll be very unpopular before I'm through. I'm not a fanatic, neither am I a fool. I just believe that if we profess a high state of grace, we ought to exemplify what we profess in our everyday living and in our activity, and, beloved, produce the kind of influence that's conducive to Christian attraction for those out there that know that we profess a high state of grace, and be sure that our spiritual vision is clear. But he goes a step further, and he said, "I'm not only praying that you might know how to exercise spiritual wisdom along with the revelation, the knowledge in him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, but that you might know what is the hope of his calling." There's some people these days, and I don't know how it is right in this section in Ohio, but there's a feller out here at Cincinnati that's on the radio every Sunday night. And he says that you can't know anything about the future, that it's already been predestined that a certain crowd will be saved and a certain crowd will be lost, and you can't do anything about it, and you just have to hope you've been included in the elect. Well, I don't hold to that, and I want you to know it now, because this book doesn't teach that. This book teaches that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The book says the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. The book says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me." The book declares, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come to the waters and drink. Yea, let him come buy wine and milk without money and without price." The book says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Seek me, and you shall find rest unto your soul." The book says, "He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out." And I believe it's an all-inclusive invitation, as revealed in John 3:16, that little verse that's known as the Bible in miniature, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, perish, but have everlasting life. And because of this, I believe that every man and woman of Adam's race can come to Calvary, can plead the blood, confess their sins, and be adopted into the family of God, and know what it means to walk in newness of life. And when you know that, then you have a hope, beloved, beyond this day. I've traveled all over this country. I've never been to a city in my life where the shades of night didn't settle. Never been to a city where they didn't have to call a doctor. Never been to a city where somebody didn't have a fevered brow or excruciating pain. Never been to a city where eyes didn't get dim and hearing difficult and steps feeble and slow. Never been to a city where taxes and rent didn't come due and didn't have to be paid. Never been to a city where there wasn't misunderstanding and heartache and disappointment. Never been to a city where a boy wasn't called off to war to fight for his country. But I want you to know this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on my way to a city where the shades of night will never settle, where there'll never be a fevered brow, no excruciating pain, eyes will never get dim, hearing will never get difficult, and steps will never get feeble and slow. Nobody will ever walk with a cane, a crutch, or a walker, and taxes and rent will never come due, never have to be paid. And they'll not even have to have the sun or the moon, for the Lord God is the lamp thereof. And they'll never have to shut the gates of the city of the day, for there'll be no night there. And I'm on my way to a city where decay never gnaws at fatalist beauty, where time never writes a wrinkle, and where death never digs a grave. On my way to a city where you can look at walls of jasper and gates of pearl, and walk on a street of pure gold, and enjoy the celestial city of God throughout the ceaseless ages of a long eternity. And the reason I'm on my way to that city is because I have a hope in Him. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And my friends, you can have hope down here. You can know the glory there and know that it's real to your heart. Will you say, if you got any scripture on which to base that evidence, just let me invite Paul and Peter and John here in your imagination this morning. And I say, Paul, would you come here to the platform of Camp Sacher Camp Meeting and testify to this crowd whether there's a hope beyond this veil? And Paul says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's enough. Paul, step aside. Peter, would you testify as to a hope beyond this veil? And Peter says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had begotten us again unto a lively hope, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's enough. Peter, step aside. John, would you testify to a hope beyond this veil? And John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He doth appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And this corruptible shall take on incorruption, this mortal shall take on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, friend, with that kind of a testimony, with that kind of assurance, you can pick up the telescope of faith and climb to the summit of your experience and look beyond this old sin-cursed world and see the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star. You may not be able to sing like a nightingale. You may not know the difference between the lines and spaces in the musical score, but you can have a melody in your heart and you can sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds Him in the veil. His oath, His covenant, and His blood, they support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come a trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, rest in His righteousness alone. Faultless to stand before the throne, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Look across to Bridgeport, Connecticut this morning. In your imagination, walk into the home of a blind woman. She never saw the azure blue. She never looked at a star-decked Milky Way. She never saw the beauty of the late afternoon sunset. But I say, Fanny Crosby, do you have a hope beyond this veil? That little blind songwriter lifts her voice and begins to sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Yes.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Yes.
This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, yes, beloved, I've got a hope beyond this veil this morning.
Yes.
I'm so glad that we can know the hope of his call.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.